Civilization, where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
I've been doing a lot of research recently into cryptocurrencies, predominantly the Bitcoin, and in recent weeks I've really established quite a fascination for this emerging trend and I guess new technological advancement that we're going to no doubt start seeing more of in the next few years. And I wanted to just do an episode really on the Bitcoin and provide something of an introduction to the nature of Bitcoins and cryptocurrencies in general, because it's a bit of an abstract concept initially. Certainly it was for me. I just kept hearing people talking about them, but not necessarily fully understanding what they actually were. And I just thought it was a bit of a fad and they'd probably all kind of end up dying off and we wouldn't really hear a lot about it. But that doesn't seem to have happened. In fact, what's happening is they're gaining more and more momentum as each month passes by, and people are really starting to pay attention now to these things, particularly the Bitcoin still, which I think is still the preeminent cryptocurrency. But there are others, and some interesting developments are taking place. So this episode is just a kind of broad introduction to Bitcoins, a bit of a sort of overview of the technology and how it works and what they basically are, for those who just want it summed up in a no-nonsense sort of way. So to begin with then, Bitcoins. So I don't necessarily know when cryptocurrencies started. I think there were probably many cryptocurrencies before the Bitcoin. I think that's certainly the case. But the Bitcoin was the first, as far as I'm aware, the first cryptocurrency to really gain a lot of attention and gain some interest among tech enthusiasts and perhaps just savvy people in general. So a cryptocurrency is basically an electronic form of money for a start, but it's an alternative to the paper-based monetary financial system, I guess, that's controlled by the big banks and by the economy as the conventional economy, that is. And there's lots of expressions and terms that you hear all the time when you study these things, and it is first and foremost what's really understood to be a consensus network. And what that means is that it's an agreement amongst a large group of users, of people, that it's a form of currency. It is a means to do exchange, and that's important, because without that a Bitcoin would have no value at all, because it's not backed up by anything real or anything tangible. It is just a code, and that's all a Bitcoin is. It's just a series of numbers. So that's the first thing that I think we need to establish. That is literally all a Bitcoin is. It's any cryptocurrency is just algorithm. And it's just a consensus acceptance that algorithm is actually worth something, whether that be worth a value at trade, so you could actually use that Bitcoin to buy something, or whether it be a way to actually exchange it for more conventional currency like pound sterling or whatever, US dollar. And that's the first thing that I think needs to be established. So why? I think that the first question people tend to ask is, well, what's the point of that, and why don't we just stick with money as it is? Because money is obviously the established means to do trade. It's the common accepted standard currency in the conventional sense. But you see, what you actually realize when you look into money is that money has no inherent tangible value associated to it. It's all down to the old fractional reserve banking, which is the old scam that people like David Icke have talked about for years now, decades. And it is the system where basically everything's just credit. Nothing's backed up anymore by anything real. Certainly the gold standard went out a long time ago, and as a result, money isn't backed up by gold. So money is just credit. It's an IOU, and it's all down to the fractional reserve system, which is essentially the system where banks can lend out giant wads of cash that doesn't exist because it's just credit on a screen, but then charge interest on it and then demand repayments. So eventually they make a load of money off of the original loan, and more money is generated into the system as a result. So that is basically the nature of the game. And they have permission to lend out 10 times what they have in the vaults, essentially. So that is essentially where we're at with money, and it's just an accepted way of doing business. But you see, with cryptocurrencies, it takes away the power the banks have to control the system, to control money, because all of a sudden, the actual way to do trades, the means to do it, is no longer in their hands. And that's certainly why I was suddenly really interested in the technology. So where does it come from? Well, all these Bitcoins have their own genesis, but Bitcoin, I think, hit the scene in around 2008. And the interesting thing is nobody actually knows who invented the technology, who wrote the codes that essentially generates Bitcoins. And I'll go into detail soon about how it all works and why it is something that we can actually trust as a system. But it's worth just mentioning that nobody actually knows who developed it. I mean, we have a name, and the name is Satoshi Nakamoto. That's the name of the developer who released the open source software. But you see, nobody actually has ever met the person. Nobody knows who they actually are, and it could just be a fictitious name. There's no face associated with the name. It's just a name. It's a pseudonym, perhaps. So it is a mystery who the original creator is, and that is something that needs to be stressed. But the actual code is open source, and for those who aren't technical or aware of certain IT terminology, open source software basically means software that is perfectly public, and the source code is available to view. So when a piece of software is created, it's built, and the code is kind of, it's sort of like, imagine if you build a house, the concrete sets, and once that concrete is set, the house is going to stand, and you're not going to be able to knock it down without a lot of effort. With software, you build your application, and once it's built, if you only have that built version, say for example, then all the original code you wrote disappeared, you could never get that code back. You just have your built piece of software, but you would never be able to see the code that drives that piece of software, because it's been built and the code is behind that layer. I mean, that's a very high level kind of description of what open source means, but in a nutshell, it just means you can view the source code. You can view the actual code that the developer wrote, and that code shows you exactly how the software works. There's no hidden element to it, because the software is the code at the end of the day. There's nothing beyond that code. So it's open source software first and foremost. And the software itself is basically just a way of generating bitcoins as a result of complex mathematical algorithms. It's sort of like it's almost like a game that you play on your computer. So you would install software, and the idea is that this software starts to do lots of very complex number crunching, and it uses up your computer's resources in order to do this, and it may take days, weeks, even months for it to actually complete these very complex mathematical puzzles. And you have to just sit there and let the computer do it. You leave it on, you just go away and do your own thing. And eventually, it will complete these tasks. And as a result, it will generate bitcoins. And these bitcoins are then allocated to you in the form of a code. And that code is just a series of digits. You write it down, and you can then quite legitimately say you've got a Bitcoin, because you have. Now, when Bitcoin first launched, it was relatively easy to generate Bitcoins, because it was like, the analogy is like mining, and it's called Bitcoin mining, and that's what people do with these powerful rigs, is they have them running all day trying to generate more and more Bitcoins. But when it all first launched, Bitcoins were quite hard to come by. So people would be obtaining a fair number of them. But what's happened in the last few years as a result of Bitcoins gaining popularity is that it's becoming harder and harder to mine them, because the software is designed to make it more difficult, because it's based on supply and demand. So it actually has a system. It's all part of the original software, and the way it's designed, it will it's like basically like mining. It's like real mining. So you'll start off where you've got lots and lots of resources. You can dig down relatively low and you'll find lots of minerals and stuff, no problem. But eventually you're going to start to struggle, and you're going to develop scarcity, and it's going to become tougher and tougher to find what you're after. And then it's going to obviously raise the price, essentially. And that's what's happening with Bitcoins. We're at the point now of Bitcoins where it would take many months to generate a Bitcoin as a result of mining, i.e. running your computer. And it's called proof. It's known as proof of work. So the value of a Bitcoin comes with the fact that that Bitcoin has been generated as a result of so many thousands of hours of computational processing. So you couldn't just cheat and make one out of thin air. It doesn't work like that. So what enforces it? Why can't you just write down any old code and say it's a Bitcoin? Because the system is client server. So what that means is that for it to work, you always have to be connected to the network, and the network is a big consensus. It's not a master server as such, because there's no one location where this all exists. It's just a peer-to-peer system, a bit like BitTorrent, where you basically tap into a consensus collective network, people running this software essentially, and you act as a node. So you've got the nodes, many thousands, hundreds of thousands all over the world, tapping into this collective network. And for your Bitcoin code to be legitimate and to be accepted as a Bitcoin, it has to be accepted by the consensus network. So in other words, you can't just attempt to tap into your Bitcoin wallet. And a Bitcoin wallet is a piece of software where you literally store your Bitcoins, like a kind of app for your phone, if you've got an Android phone. I think Apple now accept them as well, or just a desktop app on a PC or Mac. You can't just tap in any old number, because the consensus network won't accept the number you've tapped in. It won't be a legitimate Bitcoin. So as a result, it won't achieve anything for you. So the number that you generate is non-local. It's server based, and it's basically a network cluster that accepts it as a legitimate Bitcoin. And once you tap it in, that whole network then becomes aware of the fact that a Bitcoin has been generated into the system. It's allocated to your user ID. So it's as simple as that. At its core, it really is that simple. So what's interesting about it is people are now treating Bitcoins as serious commodity, really. And I mean, a Bitcoin, I think the current value of a Bitcoin at the moment, I think, is around $800. So that literally means if you generate the Bitcoin as a result of many, many months of processing on a computer, if you get that number that is a Bitcoin and accepted by the collective system as a Bitcoin, you basically could sell it you could go to a Bitcoin broker online and you can sell it and you will have real money for that coin, and then you would just transfer the coin to the user who's paid for it. It's as simple as that at its core. And that's one way of using Bitcoins, but people aren't generally selling them like that. I mean, people are using them to buy other items. So they're being used as currency. It's as simple as that. And something I found very interesting recently, and one of the reasons I actually thought to do an episode on cryptocurrencies, was where I live, which is just outside of Brighton, which is a large city in the UK. I was on the bus the other day, and I noticed that there's a small, very small cafe, and they had a sign on the door saying first cafe in the world to accept NXT coins, next coins, as currency. And I had never heard of it, so I looked into it very quickly on the bus, and I realized that NXT coins are like an offshoot of Bitcoin. It's a sort of second generation Bitcoin technology, and it's basically just a slight improvement over the original Bitcoin code. So it's basically another form of cryptocurrency. It's a new standard of cryptocurrency that will either do well or end up not being popular. Who knows? I'm not sure what the current value of one next coin is, but it's probably comparable to a Bitcoin. I'm not 100% on that though. But I was fascinated to see this, and this cafe apparently even has an ATM in the actual cafe, where you can go to actually transfer money, pounds sterling in the case of the UK, and as a result get next coins. So transfer money to cryptocurrency. So that's quite fascinating, and I mean I've not been there yet, and I want to go, but it's quite staggering to think that sort of thing is suddenly going on. And I think it's very early days at the moment, and people are only just starting to sort of even know about this stuff, let alone understand it, let alone actually use it. But I can see this actually becoming the new paradigm. I think this may actually well be one of the biggest new trends in tech and in society in general, the move away from money, which, let's face it, is an old-fashioned way of doing things. It's low tech, it's flaws, and we can do better. We really can. And this new system, it seems to be perfect for many reasons. And one of the reasons is the way that you can break down the control the banks have over the whole system, and you can actually start to create a consensus network. And the other thing that's worth mentioning about this is that everything that happens with regards to Bitcoins is public. So there's a public ledger associated with any Bitcoin transaction in the entire world, and that doesn't mean that your name and personal details will be revealed to all if you buy something with a Bitcoin. It's like a ledger entry, anonymous parties doing transfers, so you don't know who's done what transfer, but you see that a transfer of X amount has been done on this particular date at this particular time. So it's worth noting that, because the whole thing is based around, like I say, this consensus network, you therefore have the privilege of having public visibility of everything that goes on with that particular currency. And recently, a few months ago, there was a transaction which was logged in the public ledger for Bitcoins for something amounting to $150 million worth of Bitcoin. So in other words, a transfer was made in Bitcoin that was worth the equivalent of $150 million from one party to another party. So that really got people excited, and it generated a lot of buzz, because obviously one of the things about that was that people were saying, well, look, this is where corporations and governments are potentially starting to start making moves with regards to Bitcoin as a currency, and they're starting to to get things ready, get things in motion. So who knows? Who knows what that was all about? It was very interesting to find out about that transfer. But cryptocurrency, Bitcoin stuff is still in its infancy and there are still lots of problems. So we recently had a raid on a website. I can't remember the name at the moment, but it was a recent raid in all over the news where it was basically a kind of online, I couldn't really work out what it was, but it was like an online storage, almost like a bank, online bank for Bitcoins. And it basically turned out to be completely compromised and running on very poor security standards. And the whole thing was shut down. And to cut a long story short, all those Bitcoins were lost, or somebody stood to make a lot of money out of keeping hold of them if there was some foul play. But this thing, this sort of thing goes on in real life anyway with real money. So it's not like Bitcoin transactions and Bitcoin tech has caused a problem like that. That sort of thing will always exist. And the bottom line really is that you've got to be sensible about this stuff like you do with anything in life. You can't rely on dodgy looking websites to keep your funds safe. So if you own a Bitcoin, you keep that Bitcoin to yourself. And you can actually do it in quite an old-fashioned way. And that is to say that you can do things with Bitcoins. Like, there's no reason why you couldn't have a Bitcoin, write your number on a piece of paper, and take that to a bank and put it in a safety deposit box. And people are actually doing that. They're taking little bits of paper, putting them in banks. And that is their backup. So they haven't got that down anywhere else. It's just there in the bank. They may have another copy at home, but the point is that it's like having a backup of your own money, which is quite a weird concept. It's quite hard to grasp because we're not really used to that idea. If we own a £5 note and we burn it, then we no longer have that £5 note. We've lost it. It doesn't work like that with cryptocurrencies because of the nature of what it is. So that's pretty interesting to think. It's a new, like I say, it's a new paradigm. It's a new way of thinking about money in general, really, and about the value of what we use to trade. So they're really the key points, I think, about the Bitcoin tech. It's not perfect, and the value keeps going up and down. I mean, that's worth mentioning. The actual value in terms of what it's worth in US dollar form, it's going up and down. I mean, it's at quite a high at the moment, but it's had moments where it's dropped down to 500, 400, but it's kind of creeping up again. And last time I checked, it was around 800 US dollars. And the other thing that's worth mentioning is that Bitcoin is almost like a kind of gold coin, if you like, now, because they're very hard to mine. And within about 4 or 5 years, I think the software will, the software will determine that there are enough Bitcoins in circulation, and as a result there will be no more Bitcoins that can be mined. All the Bitcoins in the world that can exist will exist at that point. You will not be able to generate more Bitcoins. So as a result of that, it's like mining for a rare mineral. You'll reach that point where the value will then shoot up because you can't get any more from the ground, i.e. mining, i.e. using your computers to generate Bitcoins. So that, again, that's just quite an interesting concept to get your head around. The way that the software is designed is to mimic real life. And well, that's probably not a very good way of describing it. It's a way of mimicking the physical world, I think, is probably a better way of describing that. So you have to kind of base things in physical terms, because otherwise things get too abstract and we kind of lose our heads, I think. So you have to have this, you have to have this, this sense of it being comparable to what we're used to. And I think that's how the software was designed in the first place, and it makes sense that it would do that. So you have that to take into account. So now you're getting microtransactions. So you have a percentage of a Bitcoin as a transfer. So 1/10 of a Bitcoin, for example, would be transferred. So that's another way to consider it. It's you have denominations of Bitcoin, like you would a real currency. And I'm not sure if those denominations have names yet. I'm not actually sure about that myself. I think that would be a sensible move, because otherwise it gets a little bit too abstract and geeky, technical, mathematical. If you're saying I'm going to give you 0.25% of this Bitcoin, you know, it doesn't really work. But these things will develop with time. So this is where I see all this going. Just to summarise and to round up this episode, from my perspective, from what I know of the technology, and I don't know a great deal, I know enough, and I'm continuing to read up and research it, but from what I know, I feel like I know enough to be pretty confident about the fact that the way things are going means that we are going to certainly see a cryptocurrency. It may not be Bitcoin, maybe Bitcoin, may not be. Maybe a new one, next coin, or one even more new than that that we haven't even got yet. But we will reach a point where we accept a particular standard, or maybe more than one. And I suspect that within a few years, a decade, we will start seeing this become very, very mainstream. We will have Bitcoin transactions, cryptocurrency transactions going on a regular basis, and it will be the norm, and it will be very much linked with smartphones and the idea of near-field NFC communication payments, or whatever the hell it's called, whatever the latest standard is. But there will be... we are heading towards cashless society, it's as simple as that. And I don't necessarily believe that's a bad thing. I think from a technological perspective, it's the way we need to go, really. And certain things have to be ironed out. There's no doubt about that. We're not quite ready yet. But from what I've read and from what I understand of the tech, it's pretty sophisticated. And it really is, from my perspective, it really is an eloquent solution to a problem which we know exists, which is the problem of banks and of the fractional reserve lending system, and the way that we have this system where we rely on these old-fashioned institutions to basically govern the way we do business, the way we barter. And we're beyond that now as a society. The smart, genius people out there are working in tech, and they're the people at Silicon Valley and all over the world who are really pushing the boundaries of what's possible with technology. And these are the guys who are coming up with these solutions to some of these problems we've got in the world. And this is just my opinion. I mean, I really appreciate that the idea of a cashless society is quite scary, but I don't really think it's a bad thing, and that's just my take. And I think we're heading towards it, whether we like it or not. It's as simple as that. We're going to start seeing Bitcoins coming into the mainstream. We're going to start seeing cryptocurrencies becoming really common. And the first thing to look out for, I think, is big corporations starting to offer it as a way to buy things. So this cafe, for example, near where I live, they're trailblazing something. They really are. And it's amazing that they're so local to me. But we're going to soon start seeing big companies doing this. In, you know, retail environments, they're going to start offering the option to pay with a cryptocurrency, things like that. And as soon as that happens, banks are going to get pretty terrified, and they're going to start trying to do all sorts of things to put a tab on this. So it's going to be interesting, and I'm very intrigued by the tech, and I'm going to keep an eye on it. And I might even buy a Bitcoin. Might well do one day. But I'm going to keep an eye on the market, because it's up and down. So it's worth being pretty cautious, shall we say.
The information where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.